space, okay? And sometimes when you do that, you wonder, should I change it? Should I rearrange it? Or whatever the case might be. But one of the things that we've learned is that if it's from God, it's from God. Amen. And there's no need to worry about if we cover some of the same ground or some of the same thoughts. It's just the Word of God. That's all we're interested in. Amen. That's all we're interested in. So we're going to invite you to turn with us tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading here. Yes, I'm a little nervous, okay? I'm a little nervous. Not about preaching per se, because someone asked me one time, are you nervous? Do you get nervous? I only get nervous, you know, it's a little different situation, so just a little bit. But I'm not here to give you something new, right? It's already here for us, amen. So we're just here to give you what God has given to us. So let us begin here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning in the eighth verse, please. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all the things that we have heard and the good services. My God, Lord, every message, every song, every testimony, we thank you for all that you have, my God, done for us. But we are here in this time, in this place, my God, Lord, and we're asking you to help us. We're asking you, dear God, to just have your divine way in every heart and every life. My God, give us only those things that are approved by your Spirit. And my God, may we have ears to hear what you'd like to say to us tonight. And may we receive, my God, Lord, in our hearts, my God, Lord, all things, my God, that you have for us in Christ's name. We ask these things. Amen. All right. The church, God has always had in his mind what he wanted, what he was expecting. And in verse 16, I want to draw your attention here first. We have a picture, we have a portion of the Word of God that describes to us, that shows to us the church working and going forth in the way that God designed, right? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, right? He's talking about us. He's talking about you. He's talking about the members of the body, right? And then he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So thank God we got some of that, in this meeting. We got to come together and we got to edify one another. Got to encourage one another in the things of God. He said the body, the church, is a body that's fitly joined together. All right? Not just a body, but it's a body that's fitly joined together. Close together. Closeness. Togetherness. No gaps. No space. Right? This is what the body of Christ and how the body of Christ is supposed to function. As a body that's fitly joined together. The world, the devil, love to tear us apart, separate us. But we have the responsibility to be not just a body of Christ, but to be a body that's fitly joined together. And not just fitly joined together, but compacted. Right? Compacted. Right? Pressed together. Even closer. Even closer. That is the work that God does when he brings the body of Christ together. Right? Compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint, every member, every saved person is to be a supplier. Amen. Be a giver. Amen. We say a lot of times, well, I have a need. I'm needy. Well, we're all needy. We all have needs. But God supply our needs so we can be suppliers, amen. Givers, amen. Helpers, additions. Amen. That is the goal of God. That is what God is looking for. Amen. That every joint will supply according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There it is again. Every part, every joint. So whoever we are, not just the preacher, not just the elder, not just the Sunday school teacher, but the goal of God is for every member of the body, amen, to be an addition, to be a help, to be a blessing, amen, in the kingdom of God, right? And it said also here, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So there's a picture of the church going forth, working, amen, encouraging one another, being a supplier, amen, fitly joined together, kind of a typified to us in that Old Testament tabernacle, the one that Moses built, where they had all the boards, right, and all the boards that formed the frame of that tabernacle. They were all the same height. They were all the same width. They were all the same thickness, thank you, right, every single one of them. There were none bigger than the others. There were none wider than the others. They were all the same size. And when they put them together, they were fitly joined together. Amen. And there was no air. There was no gap. There was no space. Amen. One board didn't complain to the other board, I don't want to be by this board. I want to be by this other board. They just put them together. God saved us to put us together. Fitly join us together. Compact us so that we can, amen, come to the place where we edify ourselves. We edify each other. We come together to encourage one another. Edify ourselves in the things of God. Amen. In the things of the Spirit. Amen. Because that's what we need. We need edification. We need encouragement. Thank God we need to come to church. Amen. And do our best to be a blessing. To be, amen, an encouragement one to another. But all of this comes about because everyone is doing their job. Everyone's doing their job, right? He says here, I am very practical about the Word of God. I am very practical, amen, right down to the Scripture to help us to see what the Word of God is teaching us, right? That didn't come by accident. We don't get to be a compacted, amen, fitly joined together body of Christ just by any means. Amen. Some good things have to happen. Some right things have to happen. Amen. Some things that God has ordained. Amen. He says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, right? In other words, the ministry of God is called of God. Called of God. Amen. Put in their position by God. He gave. He gave, amen, and he called, amen, the ministry for the purpose of perfecting the saints. For perfecting the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, right? So it goes like this. Amen. The ministry, amen, preaches the word of God, amen, perfects the saints, amen, edifies the body of Christ so the body of Christ can edify one another. Amen. That's the goal. It's not a one-man show. Amen. This is, amen, for all of us to get in, amen, and be a blessing one to another. So there is that work. There is that responsibility placed on the ministry. Amen. To do that work of God that will perfect the saints. Amen. And there is a perfecting beyond, amen, justification. There is a work of perfection. Amen. I think the Hebrew writer said, leaving the principles behind, let us go on to perfection. So there is a perfecting work. Amen. That needs to be done in every justified person. And then he says in verse number 12, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. If you look back to verse, let's see here, to verse number 3 in the same chapter, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Right? So thank God when we are born of one body into one spirit, amen, we are justified, we are saved, and thank God, God calls the ministry to bring us to the unity of the faith. That's the responsibility, that's the calling, that's the job. It is an enormous, amen, awesome responsibility that God has placed on the ministry of God. So yes, I guess we're preaching part to the ministry and part to the church tonight. Right? Because there is an awesome responsibility, amen, not just to preach something, but to preach, amen, the message of God that will bring, amen, a perfecting of the saints and edifying of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the gospel brings us to something. The gospel brings us to a perfection. Amen. The work of the ministry, and we all know this, is to preach the word of God. Only God's word, nothing but the word of God, because it is the word of God that does the perfecting. It is the word of God, amen, that does the edifying or the building up. The building up. Thank God we can be saved, amen, and we can be right with God, but that doesn't mean that we still don't need to be built up, strengthened in the things of God. Amen. Paul told the Ephesian church, he said, I'm leaving you, but I'm commending you to the word of God, which is able to what? Build you up. Build you up. Amen. And he knew what the church was facing. And he said, even though men are going to arise and you're going to have all kind of situations within and without the church, I'm going to commend you to the one thing that I know that will help you, the word of God. The word of God will build you up. Amen. So he has placed in the hands of his ministry this tool, this word of God that has the power to perfect the people of God, to bring us to the unity of the faith, amen, and to bring us to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, amen. And one of the purposes of bringing us, amen, to a full experience is so that we be no more children, so we can stand on our own two feet, so we can go out in this world and serve God and be men and women for God, amen, and we can know the word of God and we can know the truth of God and we can know what the Bible teaches, thank God, amen, and we can go forth, amen, and we can stand and not be tossed to and fro, amen, by every wind of doctrine, amen, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the work of the ministry is to bring us to the place, amen, that we can come not just to the unity of the faith, but we can come to the, and this is the burden on our heart tonight, we can come to a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The mark is Christ. Christ, amen, is the standard. Bring us, amen, to Christ. Bringing us to a Christ-like experience. Bringing us, amen, to be like Jesus. To have Christ in our life. To have a Christ-like spirit. To have a Christ-like attitude. Amen. That is the mark. Amen. Not just to be better people. Not just to be people that are faithful in certain things or have a certain kind of righteousness or hold a certain kind of a standard or have a certain form of righteousness or holiness or certain rules or certain things we do, certain things we don't do. No, the mark is more than that. The mark is higher than that. The mark is Jesus. The standard is Jesus. Amen. That is what, amen, the work of the ministry is, to bring the people of God unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. That is what the true word of God does. That is what true salvation does for people. It makes them Christ-like. It makes them like Jesus. It gives them, amen, the very spirit of Christ and puts it in their hearts, puts it in their minds, amen. It is, amen, experience that makes us, like Peter said, partakers of the divine nature. Amen. It is more than something superficial, something, amen, exterior, something, amen, just done, amen, out of tradition. It is, amen, a transformation of our hearts. That is what true salvation does, amen, for us. Amen. And the title of the message tonight is, Are We Hitting the Mark? Are we hitting the mark? The work of the ministry is to bring the saints to a measure, to this measure. We talk about, and we hear all the time, are you measured up? Well, measured up to what? To some preacher's sayings or to some church's ideas or to some, no, are we measured up to the mark? The mark is Jesus. The mark is Christ. That is what, amen, the power of the word is. Amen. There is no other power, amen, able to bring us to this mark except the true word of God. Everything else below the true word of God will fail us. And we see it as a failure in all the religious world. In all the religious world, people have to make excuses. Well, you can't live like Jesus. You can't be like Jesus. You can't live without sin. You can't live a consistent, holy life. Amen. And that just goes to show you that they are not receiving the true word of God. Because when God calls his ministry, he gives them the word of God and nothing but the word of God. And when we use the word of God and preach the word of God, amen, it is, amen, have the power to perfect the saints, to edify the body of Christ and bring us to the mark. Bring us, amen, to the standard. The standard is Jesus. The standard is not a man. It's not, amen, a set of rules. It's not, amen, something, amen, that someone puts out there for us to do or not do. The standard is Christ. Amen. And it's given to us, amen, by the word of God. Only the word of God has the power to do this work. Amen. Let's look in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That the man of God may be perfect. How did he get perfect? By the word of God. by the word of God, by the scripture, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thank God for the word of God. It's given by inspiration of God, and thank God it's profitable for doctrine. We still need doctrine, don't we? We need the doctrine of the Bible. We need, amen, the doctrines of the word of God. Amen, amen. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Amen. Reprove us, Lord, if we need it, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So there is that aspect of the word of God that comes right into our life. Lord, direct us, instruct us, reprove us. Amen. Help us to know how we can, amen, be, amen, a man of God, amen, who is thoroughly furnished unto all good works, so that we can, amen, be perfected and go out into this world and live the kind of life that God ordained for us to live. And that is a godly, holy, righteous, Christ-like life. Amen. And that only comes, amen, by, amen, the true, amen, word of God. So the standard for every Christian, amen, is Christ. The one who we are emulating is Christ. The one who we are imitating is Christ. The one, amen, who we are patterning our life over with, amen, is Christ. Amen. We are, thank God, able to live this life, amen, this holy, righteous, sin-free life, amen, by the power of this great salvation God's given to us. Amen. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. We want to make sure that we don't miss the mark. Amen. We can be a church-going people. We can be Church of God people. We can have good standards. Amen. We can have good rules, things we do, things we don't do. Amen. We can go through camp meetings and fellowship meetings. Amen. But we want to make sure that, amen, we hit the mark. That we hit the mark. And the mark is Christ. The mark is Jesus. He is the one, amen, that we are, amen, to have in our hearts and in our lives. Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse number 1, please. Colossians 3 and 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we had to die. We had to die. We had to die to some things. Amen. The problem with false religion is people want to live unto sin and live unto God too. It doesn't work that way. You got to die to sin. You got to die to self. You got to die the death. Because Christ cannot live, if you're still alive. Amen. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life? Christ is our life. Amen. And that just isn't a cliche saying. Amen. Say, well, you know, Jesus is my life. No, he's our life. He gave us life. He gave us life. Amen. He put his life in us. Amen. When we died to sin. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So he said here, amen, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And now he gets into the nuts and bolts of it. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Thank God, the word of God helps us. Sometimes we don't quite get it. God said, listen, you don't get it, I'll give you a list. I'll detail it for you. Right? So there's a list for us. Right? Mortify. The word mortify means make dead. Make it dead. Make it dead. Listen, people say, well, I just can't quit. You can if you really want to. You can if you really fear God. You can if you really want to go to heaven. You can if you see the sinfulness of it. Amen. If you, amen, are tired of sin, no matter how strong a hold it has on your life, amen, and you want to get rid of it and you want to die to it, God will help you die to it. Amen. Sinful habits, sinful ways. Amen. Mortify these things, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these. He gets another list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image, amen, of him that created him. Amen. So thank God we put on a new man, but we had to put off the old man. We had to completely, amen, put off everything that was contrary to who Christ is. Amen. Everything that's contrary, amen, to the righteousness of Christ. Not just the fornication. Not just, amen, the inordinate affection. But he said also anger, wrath, malice, things in people's hearts, conditions in people's hearts, amen, that, amen, are ingrained in people, amen, that people just have inside of them. Thank God for salvation. Salvation can completely transform us. It can take the anger out. It can take the bitterness out. It can take the hatred out. Thank God. And it can, amen, amen, make us a new man and renew us in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what we lost in Adam, we got back in Christ. Amen. What we lost in Adam, amen, our place with God, amen, our inheritance with God, amen, Jesus gave it back to us. Amen. When, amen, he died on the cross, thank God, and he, amen, gave allowed us to be a partaker, amen, of his life, of his spirit, amen, by this great work of salvation. Amen. I want to read in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Galatians 4 and 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the Word of God says that when we received, amen, Christ, when we got saved, when we got redeemed, he sent forth the spirit of his son. Right? That's the language of the Bible. The spirit of his son. Right? So when if you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ is the same thing. The Holy Ghost, God, amen, in Christ is the same. It's the same thing, amen. And I want to read another scripture to emphasize this point. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse number 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Interchangeable. Spirit of God, spirit of Christ. Right? It says, and verse 6 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So when we talk about full salvation, we talk about being saved and sanctified. We're talking about receiving the fullness of Christ into our life. We're talking about receiving the Spirit of Christ into our life. Amen. And amen. And it is important how we teach, amen, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we lift up the true standard and the doctrine of the Bible. There are two works of grace. And there is a cleansing in each work. No one, amen, gets saved and receives the Holy Spirit at the same time. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is not for the world. Amen. Amen. It is a promise made to the people of God. Amen. Just like, amen, God promised the Canaan land, amen, to Abraham's descendants of the old covenant, he promised, our promise is the Holy Spirit. That is our, amen, that is our inheritance, amen, in this life. Amen. So it is important. And I know people have this mixed up. I know people teach it all kind of ways, amen, but I still believe, amen, that we get saved, amen, we get justified, and then we go on to perfection, amen, amen, and the greater work of that perfection is in getting sanctified by getting, by receiving the Holy Spirit into our life, or the Spirit of Christ, amen, so that we can go out and be witnesses for him, amen, in all the world. Amen. There's a reason why Jesus didn't want, amen, his disciples to go out after, amen, after he rose from the dead. He said, listen, I don't want you going anywhere. You're not ready yet. You are not ready. Amen. And we talked about this at home recently, and we showed three or four places in the Bible where the disciples are arguing. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. Oh, I want to sit by the right hand and the left hand. And the Lord said, you know what? You all are, you're not ready. You need to fix some things. You need to get in prayer together. Amen. Until you're ready, amen, for what I have for you. So you can be a witness, amen, for Christ, not of a church, but for Christ. He sends us out into this world to be a witness for him and of him. Amen. So many religious people, they love to talk about their church, and I'm this and I'm that and I'm a, and you name the denomination. He never sent us out to be a witness for a church. He sent us out to be a witness for him, for Christ, to represent Christ. How do we do that? With our lives. With a change, with a transformation, amen, that he made, amen, for us, amen, that he gave to us, amen. Let's look in John, the sixth chapter. This is more than just having a form of righteousness and a form of goodness and amen and all like that. There is a mark we must hit. There is a mark we must attain to, and that is Christ himself. John chapter 6. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Right, and I'm not going to read all this, but he began to talk to them about having eternal life, and he said, you can't have it unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood. And a lot of them didn't understand what he was talking about. They say, how are we going to eat your flesh? How are we going to drink your blood? We don't get this. We don't understand this. He said later, he said, listen, what if I'm ascended to my Father? Then what you going to do? He wasn't talking about literal things. He's talking about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. The Word of God, amen, is Christ. The Spirit of God is Christ. Amen. Christ himself in us. Amen. And so, thank God, we can eat his flesh and drink his blood. We do so whenever we take in the Word of God. Whenever we, amen, live in the Spirit, amen, and ask the Spirit of God to have control of our life, amen, that, amen, is eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But the sad part about that was a lot of people didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Amen. And the Word of God says that from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. Amen. And then Jesus said in verse 67, will you also go away? And Peter said, where are we going to go? Amen. And I don't know if Peter got it all, but he said this. He said, you have the words of eternal life. We know you have the words. Amen. You know, Lord, help us as a church of God. Help us to get on a right spiritual level. Help us get on the right spiritual level. Help us, amen, elevate ourselves and make sure that we stay on a spiritual plane, amen, where God wants us to be. Jesus had all these people here, and he started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Amen. And he knew a lot of them. They were so worldly minded. They were so religious and bound in religion. They could not get up to a higher place. Amen. There is a higher place for us to be, church. There is, amen, a spiritual level for us to live in. Amen. I heard a word tonight several times. That word was emotion. Amen. And amen. It's good to be emotional. Amen. But let's not confuse emotionalism with spiritualism. Be spiritual. Amen. People are emotional, and people come to church and they get emotional, and people sing and go forth, and there's emotion. Amen. The church of God is not edified purely by emotion. There is emotion involved because we're human, and we're all emotional, amen, to one degree or another. Some a lot more than others, amen. But let's make sure that we are, amen, living in the Spirit, amen, and we are walking in the Spirit, and that we are singing in the Spirit, and that we are preaching in the Spirit, amen, because it's the Spirit, amen, that edifieth, amen. Revelation, the first chapter. The mark is Christ. It's not somebody's ideas or somebody's amen, doctrines or somebody's opinions. It's Christ. Amen. And that amen experience is defined and taught to us by the Word of God. God has given us, as a ministry of God, the tools. The tools are there. Amen. The Word is there. Amen. We are to use the Word of God and only the Word of God to edify the church, to perfect the saints, to bring the people of God to this measure, to this stature, right? Amen. And we could literalize it. And we had and God, forgive me if I'm out of a little bit out here as far as my analogy. And we had a poster of Jesus, and he was 6'2", and you were 5'10". You say, you know what? I need to get a little taller. I need to measure to that stature. I need to get a little higher. Amen. And he is this wide, and you're only this wide. I need to get a little wider. I need to measure up, amen, to that stature. That is what I need to. That is what the Word of God is for. We are never done hearing the Word of God. Because and that's why we need to make sure that we hold the Word of God on God's people. Because they come and they want to make sure they're measured up, amen, to the stature of Christ. And nothing more and nothing less. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. Verse 10, let's go to verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So when the Lord Christ spoke to John, amen, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he began to give him the revelation. It says that John said, I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, and gave him, amen, the message. And then it says, when he turned to see the voice that spake with him, what did he see? The church. He saw the church. And then it said after that, he said, now in the midst of the seven candlesticks, I saw one like unto the Son of Man. So he saw the church, and then he saw Christ in the church. Amen. The world needs to see, amen, Christ in the church. Amen. And the world wants to see, amen, Christ. Amen. The world needs to see Christ, amen, in the church. Glory to God. We are Christ's body. We are Christ's body. Amen. We are the representatives of Christ. Amen. There should be no doubt to any honest person that we are Christians. There should be no, amen, there should be no wondering. There should be no doubt. Amen. You hear people in the religious world all the time. Amen. They belittle Christianity. And they put it down. Amen. Amen. Because they see, amen, people claim to be something and they see how they live. Lord, help us. We have, amen, we have been called, amen, to be the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And when John turned around to see who was speaking to him, amen, amen, there's the church. The church in Christ. Christ in the church. Amen. It's the same thing. May God help us, amen, be, amen, who God called us to be. And that is the true church, amen, of the living God. We can fill the church with decent, moral people and still miss the mark. Galatians 5. I'll show you in the Word of God. If you don't believe me, look at Anderson. Amen. Some of you don't know what I just said there. Some of you old timers do. I want to show you how easy it is if we're not careful. Galatians 5 and 1. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." These were a people, and I believe I'm correct when I say the majority of the Galatian church were Jewish people. See, different congregations had different backgrounds. Corinth had all kinds of people. Thessalonica had a lot of idolaters. Galatia had a lot of Jewish people that took a stand for the gospel. But what had happened to them was that they started out well. You did run well, Paul told them. But he said they had begun to revert back to some of their old Jewish traditions. Somebody, amen, had come around and say, "No, you still need to be circumcised." Amen. And Paul said, "Listen, they're not just saying it, they're zealously affecting you." Right? Amen. And he says, and so they were being circumcised, and in their circumcision, they were using it as a form of righteousness, trying to be justified by a good work. And Paul said, "Listen, if you're going to start going back to the old law," he says, "Christ will be of no effect to you. If you are not living," in fact, he goes on to say, verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So that is, amen, the operation, amen, of the true Christian life. Amen. By faith, by grace, not by works, amen. Not by being circumcised, not by, amen, keeping certain days. Amen. And when you do that, amen, he said, you're fallen from grace. For any of you that don't think you can fall from grace, amen, they fell from grace. For any of you that believe you can, once in grace, always in grace, no, sir, they fell from grace. They weren't living, amen, by the grace of God. They weren't living by faith in Christ Jesus. They were living by good works. And Paul said, you're missing the mark. You're missing the mark. Amen. The mark is Christ. He said, listen, he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. You're losing Christ. You've lost Christ. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Amen. The ministry of God has to be careful that they don't justify people by their good works. We're glad you come to church. We're glad you pay your tithes. We're glad you dress right. Amen. We're glad, amen, amen. There's an outward amen going along with some things, amen. But being saved and being a Christian is more amen than things on the exterior. There is a Christ-like life to live. There is, amen, a Christ-like experience to have and to keep. Amen. We are justified, amen, by our faith and by the living, working grace of God. I want to show you in Galatians chapter 4. And I love how Paul, his emphasis is Christ. It's the person of Christ, the experience of Christ. Galatians chapter 4, in verse number 8. He says, "Howbeit, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." And he's talking about those old Jewish traditions, those days, those feasts, those, amen, those things that Moses held on him. Amen, amen. He said, listen, he said, you're going back to these beggarly elements. Those were just shadows. Those were just shadows. Those weren't the reality. That wasn't Christ. That was just the shadow of Christ. Amen. You got the real Christ, and now you're going back to the shadow. You're going back to the good works, trying to be justified by those things. Amen. And so he says, listen, go down to 15. "Wherefore is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Until, listen, he said, you've lost that image. You're not in grace. You're not in faith. You're going out living by works. You're just going and doing certain things because you know you're supposed to do them. Where, amen, and I appreciate, amen, Pastor Chancellor's message about having a relationship with God. Where's your relationship with Christ? Where's, amen, the grace, amen, of Christ in your life? Amen. That's what matters. Amen. They had begun to run well, but they were being persuaded to go back. To go back to the old law. And by their observing of the old law, it was destroying the life of Christ in them. And Paul said, I am laboring now to restore that birth, that new birth. Amen. I am laboring, amen, to until Christ be formed in you. I want to see Christ in you, not good works, not just church attendance. Not just, amen, a form of morality. Not just, amen, the fact that you can do certain things. I want to see Christ in you. That is that's the mark that we have to hit. I want to see Christ in you. I want to see Christ in your life. I want to see Christ in your attitude. Amen. A Christ, amen, a Christ who we take out of this building, who we take on our jobs, who we take to our homes, who we take to our schools. Amen. Who we have in every situation of life. Amen. A Christ-like, amen, spirit. Amen. Paul, amen, emphasized Christ. He emphasized the work of salvation that produced Christ and only Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. In all we do, in every manner of our life, it should be Christ-like. How we deal with people. How we speak to people. how we react to people. Amen. How we are in traffic. How we are, amen, when you're in a hurry and you got 3 items and somebody gets in front of you, amen, and if 10 items or less and they got 25 items. How's our spirit? Amen. We're not sweet sisters at home, amen, amen, and monsters, amen, at home. Sweet sisters at church and monsters, amen, at home. We're not, amen, shouting brothers at amen in the church, amen, and amen, and just bears, amen, when we get home. We have a right spirit. The right spirit. A right attitude. Amen. Because that's who we are. That's who we are. First Peter 1, verse number 19. Verse number 1 Peter 2, verse 19. Excuse me. 1 Peter 2 and verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Okay? This is worthy of thanks. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And sometimes we have to suffer, amen, wrongfully. Verse 20, for what glory is it if when you shall be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So there are principles in the Word of God that get right down, amen, to what's down deep in our hearts. He said, listen, if you get rebuked, amen, because you did something wrong, if you get corrected on the job because you messed up, amen, and you take it well, he says, God says, so what?
Yeah, right.
So what? He says, but if you do well, if you're innocent, amen, if you did the right thing and you get blamed for it, and you get, amen, and you get, amen, raked over the coals for it, amen, and you take it well, and you have a good spirit, God said, that's what I'm looking for right there. That shows you got something in your heart. He goes on farther. He goes deeper. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Amen. He left us an example. And he says, listen, here's the example Jesus left us. Amen. And God says, you need to follow his steps. You say you're a Christian. I say I'm a Christian. All right? Prove it. Here's the example Jesus left. Here's the steps that he left for us to follow. And there's plenty of scriptures in the Bible that tell us about the kind of person Jesus was. But he says here, he says that you should follow his steps who did no sin. Are you following his example? Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Amen? Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Couldn't pull it out of him. Couldn't poke it out of him. Couldn't stir it up in him. When he was reviled, nothing to revile. There's nothing there. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There was no reviling in him. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Boy, that's saying something, isn't it? I thought I'd just go right to the big one. Right here. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's a Christ-like spirit right there. We get reviled, or we suffer, amen, amen, and there's nothing to come out of us. There's no throwing back. There's no striking back. Amen. There's no amen. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get even with you. Amen. There's none of that in us. There's none of that in us. That's Jesus in us. That's Christ in us. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something. If you live long enough, you're going to be tried along this very line right here. Lord, help me have a Christ-like spirit. When they revile me, amen. When I'm suffering unjustly, amen. I want to have a right attitude. I want to have a good spirit. Amen. That's the kind of experience that God has for us. Amen. Amen. May God help us tonight. May God help us make sure that we don't miss the mark. That we don't miss the mark. Amen. The mark is Jesus. Be like Jesus. That don't mean that God's expecting you to, amen, to walk on the water or, amen, or raise people from the dead. Amen. That's something else. But there is a life to live. There's a life to live, amen, in this world. Amen. And that is the life of Christ in us. Amen. A life of righteousness and holiness. Amen. The world loves to emulate people, right? People want to be like Michael. Pick which one, everyone, you want. There's two of them. Or Shaq. Or they want to be like a rock star. They want to be like, amen, a movie star. They want to be like, thank God, we have a whole completely different set of values. Right, young people? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. If I got to suffer, I got to suffer. Amen. If things don't go my way, if I don't get what I want, I want to make sure I keep a Christ-like spirit. That's what matters. That's the mark. That's the standard. That's the bullseye to hit. Jesus. God bless you tonight.